Jeff DiGiacomo, he's so fun to work with, as all the staff. We're just so blessed here. And I know that you all know that, but we are. We're blessed here at the church. So Jeff took it upon himself a couple of weeks ago to text me and say, "Hey, Ray, I want you to try out something with me that I just started." Well, there's a new health fitness gym just across the way on 150th that opened. And he invited me to go with him to that. Now, I don't know whether to be excited or offended by his invitation. But anyway, he invited me to go with him to this new gym that was built to be a part of a boot camp. And so, you know, just as I'm saying that, that doesn't sound too light, does it? It was a boot camp. So I was excited to be invited. Now, it did involve a great amount of cost as far as getting up early. We got up about 5:25 or so to be able to get over to the gym to warm up at 5:45 to start the deal that went, and it was a half hour. But I'll tell you this much, with that boot camp, which was the first time for me to experience anything like that, have you ever been just totally gassed? I mean, yes, I know you can see that now as I was in that particular position on my arms and knees, just totally wiped out with some of the exercises that we were doing. Because here's the deal. I can think about how healthy I am, which I can think, oh, you know, I think I'm doing okay. You know, I don't think there's anything that bad. But then as I experienced that boot camp with Jeff, I began to discover that there are some, let's just say, gaps in my fitness. And so that became readily apparent, that I began to discover that, wow, as I'm getting lapped by some other people, there are some things that apparently that I need to work on. But here's some other things that I experienced as I had that invitation. I was grateful to be asked to follow him. I really was. It's nice to be asked to do something, to come alongside. But here's the other thing that I experienced with that particular boot camp was I was absolutely clueless about how it worked. So there was a whole group of people that were following the leader. But listen, I was tuned in to Jeff because of the things that they were asking us to do. I didn't know what an upward scissor kick thing was. I was just having, okay, we're doing that. Now we're doing donkey kicks on the tire over here. And so I was trying to figure all those things out. But I was watching him like a hawk through all that to be able to figure out what I was doing. So I was following him closely. I was excited to be invited to follow. But also I experienced this. I was encouraged. And I'm still being encouraged by Jeff. It's, hey man, what are you doing this week? You're going to be able to make it. How are you doing? And even as I was there, of course, I found this interesting too, is that the leader of the whole thing, he would come over to me and he'd put his arm on my shoulder and say, "Are you all right, buddy?" You know, and so anyway, he was doing his job. So I was glad to be there. I was encouraged. I was glad to be able to follow. Through this past year, the staff, we've prayed about where we should go this year with a theme. Now we know that a pastor is coming to be of a call next week, but we weren't letting up last year, especially towards the end of the year, to think towards what should our theme be for 2019. And that's what you see on your bulletin today, and you've seen around already, which is pursuing Jesus, the challenge accepted, pursuing Jesus with others. We want to be challenged as a staff. Me personally, I want to be challenged, but we want to encourage and challenge all you as well to follow Jesus, to make sure that we are pursuing Jesus with others. Here's how we would see it from what Jesus said in Luke 9, as he talked about the cost of following him. He said in Luke 9:23, he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." Jesus says, follow me. Take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow me. Following Jesus, that's the call that we've seen, particularly as he called his disciples. You can see it in Matthew 4:18. It says this, "Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Listen to this. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. He said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. And one more, John 1:43. The next day he purposed to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Jesus called for people to follow him. Now, the Greek word for this word "follow" that we see here is the word akolotheo. And that word akolotheo is to follow the road or the way. Remember that those first believers in the New Testament were called those of the way. So Jesus is asking them to follow him. And he also says in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me," the way. But you know, here's what we also know about the Lord. He called disciples to follow him as he was on his earthly ministry. But we know this, that the Lord has always called people to follow him. Genesis 12, he says this to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. God called Abram and said, "Look, here's where you are, and this is where I want you to go, and I want you to follow me." And he did that very thing. Here's another great one from the Old Testament, Numbers 14. "But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it." You remember Caleb? Caleb and Joshua, of those spies that went in to spy out that promised land, they were the ones who came back and said, "Look, we know about the giants, we know about all those things from this new land, but we trust the Lord." It says here in Numbers, he followed God fully. And then one more from the Old Testament, 2 Kings 18, King Hezekiah. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he, this is beautiful, he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Now we have this word for follow, akolotheo, on the way in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's this word akar. And it's from this word which would mean the hind part or the following part, the after part, behind, to follow. But I love these other definitions of this Hebrew word, forsaking, pursuing. These people, these giants of the faith in the Old Testament, followed the Lord. They pursued him. They forsook what they wanted to follow what God wanted for their lives. But here's what we also know from the Testament of Scripture. Is that the Lord is not always followed. Here's what it says in Luke 9:57. Jesus would make the plea to follow him. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Look, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go bury my father." And he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I'll follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And I know that you would know of other examples from Scripture of people who turned away from following Jesus. In the Old Testament, I think the one that stings my heart the most is found in Genesis 19. Listen to this account. The messengers had come to take Lot and his family out from that wicked city, Sodom. They said to him, "Look, we're about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord's about to destroy the city." So he knew what was about to happen. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. But listen to this. As the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him and set him outside of the city. We have the opportunity to follow Jesus with all of our life today. Everything that we are, he calls us, he beckons us to follow him every day, to take up our cross and follow him. There can be true transformation in your life and in mine. He calls us to follow him. But listen, just like going to the gym, it does take effort. There is cost. There is commitment. Listen to how we would see it in the New Testament from Peter. He says in 2 Peter 1:5, "For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness, brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter urges, listen, make every effort in following the Lord Jesus, adding these components to your life to be effective for him in this walk and in this journey. We also hear from Paul as he encourages yet young pastor Timothy, where he says in 1 Timothy 4:7, "Discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." So make every effort. Discipline. That word discipline, it comes from that Greek word gymnasio, whereas where we also get gymnasium, which means to exercise or to discipline or to train, to work things out. So there's a true cost to following the Lord, but the transformation is real. Amen? You experience that transformation in your own life as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at that picture on your bulletin of where we're headed, you can see that there is a mountain there of that challenge accepted, pursuing Jesus with others. Listen, today, if a mountain was parked just outside the church, or we were on an expedition to go up Everest, listen, you don't just go out and do that. There's a lot of training involved. There's so much that's involved in being ready and prepared to be able to do a task like that. I know that in running marathons, sometimes it backs all the way up to what they call a couch to 5K. Have you heard of that? It's literally moving from sitting watching television to just get up to doing a 5K, and from a 5K to a 10K, a 10K to a half marathon to a full marathon. Listen, we want to pursue Christ together to be able to make that mountain peak together. But it's going to take effort. It takes work in our lives in doing that. So let me clarify something really quick about some things that I'm not saying about this pursuing Jesus, this accepting this challenge together as a church this year. What I'm not saying is that it's about a simple decision of salvation. And by simple, I mean that's the greatest decision that you can make in your life, which is turning from sin and self and turning to Jesus, where that transformation happens, where the Holy Spirit comes in and takes charge of our life. That's a once and for all decision. But it's like a commencement. It's like a graduation that will come up here in May. Listen, for these high schoolers that are about to graduate, or for these college students that are about to graduate, does that mean that they've done it all? That they're done? That that's the finish line? No, actually, commencement is where they start. Once they take that step, that's when they begin to pursue life and move through life and meet other challenges in life. Listen, for us with salvation, that is the decision that starts the journey, where the Holy Spirit moves in as the guarantee of my life. Listen, I'm headed towards glory in heaven, and I'm grateful. But when I accepted Christ as a boy, that was just the starting point for me. Amen? So there's a challenge to it. There's effort. There's discipline that's involved. But let me also clarify something else. In other words, we don't want to get saved and then just sit and soak. There is work to be done in this life. There's effort to be done in this life in pursuing Jesus as our Lord, obeying him in every way. But let me clarify something else. I don't want to stipulate today either that somehow that there's this earning or deserving or works or this cold religion where we're going to start doing things to be deserving of something or earning salvation. That's not worth saying either. As a matter of fact, we would see it from Paul in Philippians chapter 3. He would say this, look, I've done everything you can do. No one can beat me at the religion game. I've checked every box. I know every law. I've done everything required. I'm pretty sure he would say, nobody can beat me at religion. But he also says this, I count all that to be loss, to just be a wash in the sake of pursuing Jesus. That's what I want to do. So listen, I don't want to set up anything today that would say that we're saying that you have to do something else for salvation or that we're earning something or deserving something. Listen, when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, what we are encouraging ourselves to do today is to continue to pursue him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? So that's where we're headed this year. Lord, help us as we train ourselves in godliness to press on in Christ-likeness. Our challenge this year is to be able to help one another experience any gaps in our lives from where we are and where Christ wants us to be. We're pressing on in godliness. We're pressing on in the perfection that Jesus has for each of us. Listen, I was readily aware, as I literally had to stop and catch my breath, of the gaps in my life, of my own personal health. In the same way, I think that for all of us, there are gaps in our life where Jesus is going to come to each of us and say, look, you need to grow here. You need to change here. I want you to mature here. I want you to be different this time next year than you are right now. I want you to be different now than you were when you got saved. What are those things in our lives that we can address? If you look at the bulletin again, you'd notice that there are some spots on that are like camps up the mountain. And that's what we want to encourage this year, is that there's opportunity for us to be able to explore different areas of our life, to be able to gauge, to be able to say, and by the way, these aren't exhaustive. There would be many ways that we could check and just test our pulse and see how we're doing in some different areas. But at least in these, we wanted to be able to say, how are we doing? And then not only how are we doing, but how could we address those areas? So in this first quarter, hopefully you've already heard and experienced that we want to be seeking God. And by the way, as I talk about these things that I share right now, you would be able to see all of them online at qsbc.org/2019theme. And what we've laid out on that page is where you can see the descriptor of each of these quarters that we're walking through, any of the guides that would be involved, so you can have it right there. You could even get that on your mobile device, or if you would like a hard copy, we also have those challenge accepted booklets that are all through the church. You can pick those up as well and be able to see everything that I'm talking about this morning. But one thing that you would experience as you get into your small groups today is also the opportunity to be able to take an assessment. So as a church, we've actually purchased an assessment where you personally can go in and check through some things in your own walk and journey in your life. And that's what we as staff have already done. We've gone in and been able to ask our questions in each of these areas that I'll describe in just a moment. How am I in seeking God, and what would those questions be? I know that for me, as I walked through that, there were some questions that were posed to me of, I haven't thought of that. I know that I'm not doing as well there as I should be. So as you do that assessment, and again, you'll find out about it in your small groups today, or we as a staff are more than happy to help you take that. There's also a hard copy that you can take as well. We want you to be able to take that assessment to be able to say, what are the questions I should ask? And then how am I doing in each of those areas? Your information that you share will be held private, but what we want to see as well is for a group, so us as a church, how are we doing in each of these areas? The first would be seeking God. How are we doing there? How am I personally seeking and following God? How am I pursuing Him daily? Do I personally worship the Lord? Are there times that I experience Him in a worshipful way in my own time of worship and growth and discipleship? Listen to some of these assessment questions that you could consider. And these may be up here. How often do you personally read the Bible that's not connected to church? If you go several days without reading the Bible, do you find yourself unfulfilled? Or how about this? I find myself praying through the day. Or another question, I set aside time to pray and worship privately. There are those types of questions to help us to be able to consider, how am I doing in my journey in pursuing Jesus? So for us as pastors in the church, not only do we want to raise the question, but we want to give opportunity to be able to grow in those areas as well. That's why we've implemented this F260 Bible reading plan. Hopefully you've seen that. If you haven't seen that, to be able to jump on board to read these major biblical passages together as a church body, to be encouraged together through the year in reading the Bible. We also want you to be able to discover how to digest the Word too. Not just in checking a box that I've read a scripture passage, but am I hearing the passage? What am I highlighting? What am I exploring and explaining? How could I apply it? What is my response to God's Word today? So this first quarter, we want to encourage everyone to be thinking about how we seek God together, but seeking God personally. Here's the second stop on our trail together during this year. In the second quarter, it'll be about serving God and others. So as I say serving God today, as you think about your own personal journey in following Him, are you personally serving the Lord in some way? What does that look like? And the question's not, how is the church serving the Lord? But the question is directly, how are you serving the Lord? Think about some of these questions to consider that you would see on the assessment. I intentionally spend time with other believers to help them grow in their faith. I'm serving other believers. Or another, I believe one powerful way to know others in the church is to serve with them. Or yet another, I regularly use my God-given gifts and talents to serve and help those who are not a part of my church. So this year, and particularly in that quarter, we would experience some things like spiritual gifts inventories. I won't ask you to raise your hands right now, but how many of you know what your spiritual giftedness is and how that you're designed to serve the Lord? We want to give opportunity to be able to know that. A couple of years, we had a service fair. We intend to do one of those again so that you know ways that you can serve here at the church and outlets for service and ministry that would match your spiritual giftedness. But I think the most important emphasis with this particular stop on the trail in serving God with others is an expectation that each of us need to be serving the Lord. Are you serving the Lord? What does that look like? The third quarter is to address being unashamed of Jesus. What does personal evangelism look like in your own life? During this quarter, we want to search out and seek the questions, do we should be public about our faith? Do others see you as a Christian? Do you share Christ with others? Think about some of these questions. Many people who know me are not aware I'm a Christian. How would you respond to that? I'm a different person in public than I am in private. How would you respond to that? I'm able to share my faith in Christ with others, and I have recently. How would you respond to a question like that? So for us as pastors, we want to encourage this year is that we create opportunities for you to be able to build relationship with others. We've actually recently walked through a book together as pastors, which is called The Art of Neighboring. How to be able to build relationships with those that are immediately around us. What does that look like? How do we cultivate those relationships? We want to be able to help you in sharing your own personal testimony. How do you share your faith? And then we also want to be able to encourage and give opportunity for us to be able to get out and witness with the good news of Jesus Christ. And then finally, in the fourth quarter, we do want to be able to explore trusting and obeying Jesus. What does that look like in your life? Are you empowered in faith by God in your daily living? Or are you making your own way? Are you kingdom-minded? Does the mind of God, paying attention to Him, permeate your life? Not compartments or buckets of your life. This is my work life, and this is my family life, and this is my church life. But how is God leading you in every way in your life? Listen to some of these questions that you'll explore on the assessment. Do you believe that God is using all events in your life for His purposes? Do you believe God is always at work in and around your life? Would you be willing to do anything the Lord may be asking you to do with your job, with your finances, with your direction in your life? Are you aware of temptation and sin in your life? Do you regularly confess your sin to God? Are there others that you're able to talk with about victory and defeat in your walk? Does a godly life permeate your walk daily with Him? This year, and particularly in that quarter, we want to encourage for you to be able to seek and know God's will and purpose in your life. Encourage you to find ways to live holy lives that are pleasing to God and other believers. We want to have a challenge accepted this year as a body to pursue Jesus with others. We want to follow Him together. Let me ask you today, do you believe that there are gaps in your walk that could be addressed in following Jesus? Just to the things that we've highlighted this morning, and again, I want to encourage everyone to take the assessment, to be able to see and be confronted with some questions about how you're walking with the Lord. Those instructions are in your bulletin this morning. What about those gaps in your walk with the Lord? Are you willing to look at those? But more importantly, are you willing to follow Him in seeking out growth in each of those areas? I want to ask you to bow your heads with me because I want to explore a few more things with you this morning. But I want you to be able to think for just a moment as you draw a circle around yourself there. You've been challenged to follow Jesus today, to pursue Him with others. Are you willing to ask those questions this morning about the health of your journey and your discipleship and following Jesus? One question I have for you in this group today, it could be that as I described trusting Jesus as Savior, that first step in following the Lord, it could be that in this room you realize today that you have never taken that first step and really that first turn, to turn from sin and self and to turn to Jesus. When I read those accounts this morning where Jesus said, "Follow me, follow me, follow me," you have willfully disregarded that plea. You've never turned from sin and self to follow Jesus. He's calling you today to a transformed life, and that first step is turning to follow Jesus. If the Spirit is speaking to your heart today and calling you to follow Him, follow Jesus. Make Him the Lord of your life this morning. It could be this morning that you follow Jesus. You know that there's a point in the timeline of your life where Jesus has moved you from death to life. It wasn't just making you feel better. You know that you were dead in your sins and He raised you to new life in Christ. You may know that today, but what you're confronted with this morning is that you realize that your pursuit hasn't been focused on Jesus. It's been on other things. Maybe today it is that you need to come and pray with Wade or Roy or just kneel at these steps and focus your life in a renewed way in pursuing Jesus, of accepting the challenge. Lord, I commit to follow You, not with a part of my life, my church box, but I follow You with everything that I am. I pursue You this week and this year. It could be today that you realize this morning that of everything I've read, the one about Lot stands out the most to you. You know that you've trusted Christ. You know that you're a believer. But like Lot, you're lingering. You've chosen to sit down and linger with the old. My plea this morning to you is to stand up, to move forward, to recommit to the Lord, to pursue Him with everything that you are. You've been invited. No one's going to make you follow. It's your choice. But transformation is before you. Lord, we thank You today for the truth of Your word. And we thank You, Jesus, that you ask us to follow you. It's a simple yes or no, but it costs us everything, Lord. And with that denial and cost of following you on the path, we gain everything, a transformed life. So I pray today, Father, as you're speaking to people's hearts in this place, that you would help them to take count of their own life and journey with you. And if they need to do business with you today, Lord, I pray that you'd give them courage, strength, the fortitude to be able to stand and say, Jesus, I follow you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do business with you today. In Jesus' name, amen.